Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our verse-by-verse study in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Today we're going to begin in chapter number 3 of 1 Thessalonians. But let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin our study today. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing and the honor and the privilege it is this very day to open up your very words, Lord. Father, we pray that the saint listening today would be edified, lifted up, and would grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by these studies. And Father, we pray for the lost soul that's listening today, that this would be the very day that they'd realize that they're lost and undone in their sin, and that they need to place their faith and trust squarely in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else, to have their sins forgiven and secure them a home in heaven. Father, now we commit this time into thy hand. We ask your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. First, what I'm going to do before we begin our study, let's read down together the chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. There's 13 verses. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter, having tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself in our Father, in our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Now let's look at verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 together. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Now this takes place historically in Acts chapter 17, verses 13 through 15. So let's hold our place here in 1 Thessalonians and turn over to the book of Acts, chapter 17, and show and see historically when this took place. Acts chapter 17, and we'll look together at verses 13 through 15. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came hither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Return again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's look at verse number 2 together. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. And Acts chapter 17, verse 14, we found Paul leaving bound for Athens. Then we read, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. So it must be that Silas and Timotheus went to the ship with Paul, but he sent them back, as our current verse says. Paul continues by calling Timotheus a brother in Christ, a minister of God, a fellow laborer in the gospel. Thus we see that a brother in Christ ought not only to minister to other Christians, but ought to be working together with them in spreading the gospel. Finally, we read that Timotheus' job was to comfort and establish them. It could be that Timotheus was to act as a pastor of the church there in Thessalonians at this time. For we find out later on, he is working in this office as such when Paul writes him his first and second epistles of Paul to Timothy. Let's move on to the third verse of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Paul wishes that they be not moved by afflictions that they have undergone, in that they know that they were appointed to suffer. For all who accepted Christ Jesus as the Lord had to suffer terrible ridicule and even persecution for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here in the United States of America, we, for the whole, generally are not going through what they did here back when Paul was writing. But I think as we get closer to the Lord's return, we're going to, as Christians, I believe, suffer affliction more and more for standing for Christ and living for Christ. But there is right now, during our time in other countries, amen, where certainly Christians are being afflicted and persecuted, amen, for living for the Lord Jesus Christ, for adhering to his very words, amen. Let's move on to verse number 4 here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. Here Paul reminds them that he told them before that they would suffer tribulations, and that what they are doing now, suffering, is part of that. And he tells them, and they knew it. Amen. Move on to verse 5 now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter, having tempted you in our labor, be in vain. Now that they are going through some things, Paul wishes to know how they are holding up. In other words, he wants to find out if it strengthened their faith to continue on the more for the Lord Jesus Christ, or it discouraged them and made them quit. Now, the tempter mentioned here in this verse is certainly a reference to Satan himself, who does all he can to try to tempt Christians. Not only does he try to tempt them to quit, but he tempts them to sin, as he did Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, in verse 3. Matthew chapter 4 with me. We'll see here where he tried to tempt Jesus to sin. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, we read, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And notice how the Lord dealt with him. He used the word of God on the devil, and that's what we're to do when he tempts us, is to use the very words of God on him. But he answered and said, "It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So we have a great example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and how to deal with the devil when he tries to tempt us to sin. Not only will he try to tempt us to sin, but to speak, he'll tempt us to speak reproachfully. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Timothy. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verse number 14. "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion," here it is, "to the adversary," that's another name for the devil, "to the adversary to speak reproachfully." Not only that, not only will the devil try to tempt us to sin, to speak reproachfully, but also to blaspheme, to blaspheme. Let's look first in Acts chapter 26, the book of Acts with me, if you would. Acts chapter 26. And when we get to Acts chapter 26, let's look at verse 11. "And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. And of course, here is the Apostle Paul before Agrippa giving his testimony and how he was towards Christians before his conversion. Look with me also in the book of Titus, Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter 2, and we get to Titus, we want to look at verse number 5 of Titus 2. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And of course, here in Titus chapter 2, here we have that the aged women should teach the younger women in the church how to behave and how to live. Amen. First Timothy chapter 1. In First Timothy chapter 1 with me, if you would. First Timothy chapter 1, we want to look at verse number 20 together. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Of course, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, and he's talking about these two individuals that he's delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, although Satan tries to tempt Christians to sin, they do not have to give in to that temptation. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we find there is a way out of temptation. Let's look at that verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, together. We read the following. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, this verse is telling us. So a Christian has a faithful God who will not allow Satan to tempt him above that which he is able to take. Amen? And he will make a way to escape. All the Christian must do is look for it. And the best way to start is by praying as soon as temptation arises. Amen? I think sometimes, as Christians, we don't do that. We lean to our own understanding on how to handle things. But when temptation comes, claim the promise of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that you and I have a faithful God that's not going to allow us to be tempted above what we can handle, and that he's also going to give us a way, show us a way to escape, or make a way to escape. And the best way is to start praying when temptation arises. And God is faithful. If you trust in him, amen, he's going to provide the way to escape that temptation. Okay, let's move on to go back to our 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and let's read verse 6 together. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Now we get the rest of the story here in verse 6. Timothy left the Thessalonians and brought back the good news to Paul that they were full of faith and charity. So Satan's persecution didn't keep them from rejoicing in the Lord. Even though he hindered Paul from going to see the Thessalonians, he did rejoice to find us out. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul commends them because their faith groweth and their charity aboundeth. To Paul, charity is important. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, we read, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. All right, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll look at verse 7 together. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Paul responds to the news that Timothy brought was that he and those with him were comforted in knowing that the Thessalonians fared well. And it helped Paul and his companions in their affliction and distress. So you can see a Christian's testimony is very important. He can either cheer others up and give them encouragement and help to continue on, or he can drag others down in the mud with him if he allows Satan to steal his joy. See, so Paul and his companions were boosted up and encouraged in their distress, in their afflictions, because Timothy brought the news that even though the believers at Thessalonica were going through sufferings and afflictions and tribulations, they were standing tough for the Lord. They weren't giving up. They weren't quitting. They weren't throwing in the towel. See? And this brought comfort to Paul and his companions and helped them to carry on and not to quit and build them up and saying, look at our brothers, the brethren there in Thessalonica, they're holding strong, even though they're under some fierce spiritual warfare and Satan's coming up against them, they're holding tough. And that kept Paul going and keeping on. And we need to remember that. That as brethren, we affect one another. You know, it's sad when you and I hear of other good Bible-believing works turning away from the faith. Stop doing what they had been doing for many years. And are doing something else now, just to maybe to attract big crowds and get the numbers. Amen. It's sad. It's very sad. It's sad when we hear a church closes its doors, a good Bible-believing work, because of some persecution and trial and tribulation that they went through. And they couldn't stand strong, or they didn't. And they quit. Amen. So we have to realize that as brethren, we're all in the family of God. We all affect one another. Amen. We can either encourage one another or discourage one another. And thank God we see here that during Paul's trial, his companions with him, their affliction and distresses, that they were encouraged. See, to hear that the Thessalonians or the Thessalonians remained strong in the faith, even though the persecution, the afflictions, the tribulations were raging all about. And this news helped pick up and encourage Paul and his companions to remain strong in the faith. Amen? Let's look at verse 8 together of 1 Thessalonians. For now we live. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. This verse also shows us that how a Christian acts or reacts to someone or something can help another Christian as well. For when one believer is really going through trials and tribulations and sees another Christian going through the same thing, it can help him want to press on for the Lord, knowing that he's not alone. You know, I think sometimes, especially pastors, and I can speak of that because I have in the past pastored, and sometimes you get the feeling that you're all alone, that you're in this thing by yourself. And I can remember having those feelings. Amen. Or at least that's what the devil, the Satan, would try to make me think. But that's why it's important for pastors to fellowship with other pastors of like faith. And they can see that they're going through, the other pastors are going through similar things that you're going through. And that you can encourage one another. Pray for one another. Lift up one another. Amen? Because, see, good Bible-believing pastors, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching. And when I say Bible, I mean King James Bible. That's where you and I can find the very words of God, the very inspired, inerrant, infallible, preserved word of God. Satan doesn't like that. He's going to come after you. He's going to try to destroy you because there's a lot at stake, see? But as we see here, it really helps when you're going through something, trials and tribulations, to realize that you're not alone, that there are other pastors of like faith, other brethren of like faith going through the same thing. And you can lift each other up and encourage one another in the Lord. Well, we're going to stop right there. We'll pick up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 next time. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the Pastor Study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.